to order. Jerry, if you do attendance, please.
Sure. Chairman DeLong?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran? Legislator Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Parity?
Yes, sir, here.
Legislator Waro?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
All right, thank you. Tonight we have the SUNY Ulster 2020-2021 proposed Ulster County budget PowerPoint presentation. Dr. Roberts, I'll let you take it from here.
Jim, or
yes.
Jim, could you approve the minutes? Could the committee?
I'm sorry, yes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes and the transcript of the June 2nd, 2020 meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Yep, I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Dr. Roberts, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Jim. And I'm going to get a screen share here to try to get up my PowerPoint. And hopefully I can get it to work.
So Dr. Al, we can see it. You just have to go into the present mode.
Okay, that's, I thought I did that, Jamie.
Yep.
I gotta move this down. Okay, there we go.
So if you just go, there you go. Perfect.
Well, I apologize. Without having Jen Zell here, it's very complicated for me. What I'd like to do is not only just talk a little bit about the budget, and Jamie will do most of that, but I kind of put together a hoping that we could have done this in person with the entire legislature. So I may speed through this because it might be a little lengthy, but I thought it'd be important for you to kind of know some things that have been going on. You probably know what's happened since March, but before then, we've really had a really good year. So I don't get a chance to share that with you very often. So if you bear with me, I'm going to run through a few things. I wanted to talk about the trends, some of our accomplishments, some new programs, your investment in the college, which I think has been so greatly appreciated. Our foundation, which has made us one of the most affordable colleges in the country. And then talk about what happened since March 16th. And then I'll turn it over to Jamie and she'll get to the fun part, the actual dollars and cents. First of all, as you know, we're the number one community college in the state. I just love saying that. That's so much fun.
Yep.
And it's really, and I should just, little history. We have 30 community colleges and we meet twice a week and we talk about, you know, how we're going to survive through this and the new changes. What I'd like to tell the legislature being number one means that we are financially solid, unlike some of our other institutions. There are literally, Jamie's going to talk about the recent state cut that we had, and it's going to be quite a blow to some of them. I believe there's 6 community colleges that will not be able to make their payroll in the fall. That's pretty substantial, and it's going to be sad, but it's going to see some interesting things. But what I'm here to say is, being number one, it's because we're financially solid. We also have good enrollment, a number of things that brought us to this point. And some other trends, just, it's interesting to look back 10 years. If you look over 10 years, those are the 30 community colleges, and you can see that this is the one list that I didn't want to be at the top of. Tompkins Cortland has lost 60% of their enrollment over that period of time, which it makes it hard to survive. And you can see the bottom of the list, in 10 years, we've only lost 4%. But fast forward 5 years, and we've actually gained enrollment. and you can see the 30 community colleges. So, and at the end of the day, that pays the bills. That keeps us solid. That keeps us able to do the things we need to do. So it's really exciting to be able to, you know, to share that information. Patterns for Progress did a report, and they were looking about the evolution of higher education in our county. And they look more than just a community college, but they look at the Hudson Valley and they lump in SUNY New Paltz and Purchase. And I don't know if you can see, I hope you can see that. Let me go backwards. Is that Purchase and SUNY Ulster are the only two that had any growth over the last 5 years. So another indicator, not only at the university level, but at not only at the community college level, but the university level, we've actually had some growth. We got another report last week. Is we are the only community college in the top 10 in the country for affordability. So that's a pretty nice slogan to say that we are the most economical and we're the number one in the state. So, you know, which it's just something that our county needs to be proud of. That, you know, through the support of the legislature helping us in so many ways, you know, we were able to buck the trend and really be in a good financial position right now. Our food pantry is going strong. Even through the COVID-19 situation, we're still running it where students are calling and they're coming to pick it up. When they come, they have to be checked in, they're traced to make sure that their temperature is correct. But we kept the pantry still going strong. Something that in a time of crisis, you need an SBDC. And I just want everyone to know it is Ulster that supports the SBDC. So all the things that you've heard wonderful about them, you know, that's because we at SUNY Ulster here has supported the SBD for 15 years. And it's only times like this that you realize what a real asset it is to our community. We're excited that it worked very well, the Green Academies. It started just about the time that COVID-19 hit. Moved everything to remote, graduated a number of students remotely, and we're going to continue that in the fall. New Star for Women, a program that was funded by Novo Foundation and Darlene Pfeiffer. They gave us $1.5 million, but it targets a unique population. These are women who are working poor. They generally have children and want to go back to school, but the possibility isn't there. We support them 100%. We provide them with internet access if they need it, laptops, mentoring, and we graduated the first group and they'll be off. Some of them are continuing on to four-year universities. And this part, thank you. You know, I would have loved to have you out to show you the construction that was completed. The bridge was done before we had the crisis, the Pfeiffer Lab, the new windows, and probably the thing that is so excited is now we have hookup to the city water. They haven't turned it on yet, but they pressed tested the pressure, and it is there and is ready to go. And it's been relatively 16 years to get it. So we want to thank everybody for sticking with us and. We're really proud of that. So thank you to everything that you've done and for all your capital projects. Right now we're in the midst, and Jamie will talk about some of those when she gets into the finances, about how they really are not only helping the infrastructure, but they're also providing a unique sustainability, which is one of our major goals, is keeping, you know, following the guidelines of the state, the county, making sure that, you know, we are leading the charge in sustainability. We are in the midst of a facilities master plan, and I'm going to ask for, if someone is interested, we will be reaching out to the community, and we have a firm that has been working. Unfortunately, they came to a screeching halt, and they'll be starting up in the fall. But part of the facility master plan is our roadmap for the next 5 years. They'll talk about programming, they'll talk about classes, they'll talk about the utilization of the buildings. But what most important is we want the input. So if someone's interested to sit on that, we'll reach out to Jim and see if anybody would like to be part of the focus group from the community. Our foundation has just exploded. It's just, what they've done is just truly remarkable. we're giving over $400,000 in scholarships compared to $200,000 5 years ago. And that is one of the major reasons why our tuition may look, we're below the state average, but we still come in as the most affordable community college because of the scholarships that the foundation awards. It's just unbelievable what they've done. In addition to that, what they've done, you know, I went to the foundation board and asked them if they could help in this time of crisis, and they said yes. So they're covering about $200,000 in salaries that are ran out of the foundation. So incredible, not only to the students, but to ensure that we don't lose any steps whatsoever. We have a unique program that I'm very proud of, and it's the President's Challenge Scholarship. And the reason to bring this up is that we went down to Florida just before the crisis, and we had 100 students. We want to show them, you know, we brought 100 students into this program, which is incredible. But even during this crazy time, we brought in another 50. We did all the applications online. We did the interviews online. And so now we have 150 in the program. And I just, a short video, just to show you how proud we are of this.
Turned out to be one of the most emotional, satisfying days, I think, in 40 years of education I ever had. To watch the joy from the moms.
I'm so happy for my daughter. I'm proud of her. She's ambitious and she's self-disciplined.
I am so very proud of her. She always amazes me. So happy, and I'm so thankful to everyone for choosing her. I thank you very much for this opportunity, and she's going to do wonderful things, I know it.
And literally that day I left knowing that we changed these lives. Hearing their story is just remarkable.
College is expensive these days, so I didn't really think I could go very far, but when, you know, I had not only my family and my friends telling me they believed in me, but when I had someone who never even knew who I was, like genuinely believed in me, that felt even better.
People have walked out of my life, so I'm really happy that, like, as people walk out, there's more people that walk in that believe.
Over the last 4.5 years, we've had a lot of success. And I think out of all the things we've done, the thing that's been most successful and I'm most proud of is the President's Challenge Scholarship. It's a unique program where we're going after eighth graders and we're changing lives.
There are so many young adults that do not have the opportunity to receive an education. It possibly may not be talked about in their family. It could be finances. It could be many reasons. We have so many students who are living in poverty, who haven't had parents who've gone to college, but who are brilliant and capable and full of unlocked potential.
Our students are diamonds. They're bright students, capable, and some come with extreme amount of challenges. You know, life is not fair, but they show up, you know, and they finish.
To see that people have taken the opportunity to believe in students that they have never met is not only heartwarming, but it's truly amazing. It is the golden rule personified.
We started something where we just wanted to target eighth graders in a two-year scholarship. Now they come on campus, they're getting the college ID, they're attending classes, they're coming to the special events. They are SUNY Ulster students in ninth grade. It
creates an accountability that a lot of kids don't have, and a sense of pride as a result of that.
You know, you can make a donation to a large organization and you know that's going to overhead and other expenses and perhaps the end result. But with this, you know you're impacting one person's life.
The idea that you can identify a student in eighth grade and then mentor them and sort of encourage them for 4 years is also, it's quite a gift for us to see a young person blossom.
This is what we're all about here at Community College of Student Success. This is a unique way, but I think it's a tremendous way of getting folks here that ordinarily probably wouldn't be here or had that opportunity. It's the greatest joy that one could have.
The first six that we had, we didn't know how this was going to work. Then the next year, we brought in another 16. Right now, we have 50 students that are in the program. As we sit right here, they're out there awarding the next 50. So we'll have 100 in the program by the end of this month. I believe we have created a model that can be expanded. So the future is to bring it statewide.
We are so proud of Abigail from our first scholarship class. Abigail's graduated a year early and is here attending SUNY Ulster. She's our first President's Challenge Scholarship recipient on campus. And we are just so happy to have her here.
I see students go from feeling defeated to feeling full of hope. this will help so much in my future, and thank you so, so much.
Can't believe I'm getting to go to college.
This is really going to change my life.
When I heard Christina say, this is really going to change my life, that was it. That was it for me. I was just.
I knew I always wanted to go to college. I just didn't know how. When I heard about the President's Challenge Scholarship, I knew I needed to apply. I thought that would be a changing moment in my life.
For some students, it's really uplifting their entire family. Now, the next generation of their families will see that, hey, I can do that too.
The President's Challenge Scholarship lifts the student, it lifts the family, and it lifts our entire community.
I had one of the donors come up to me, she says, this is the legacy of the college. Nothing else we ever do at SUNY Elster, I think this will be what we're known for, changing lives.
And that's a photo of all 100 students when they were on campus this fall. And again, we just brought another 50 in. So right now we're at 150. So really, it's brings tears to my eyes. It's superb. Here's our 5 goals for next year. You know, we brought to the Board of Trustees our strategic plan, and it is built off these 5 major goals. So as we move forward through the following year, number 1 is student success. 2 is being innovative, which we truly are. Accessibility and equal access is critical. And allocation of resources, we want to make sure that we use every dollar that is given to us for support, is that we make sure that we're good shepherds of that. And the final one, which is truly really important to us, is environmental sustainability. And again, that will be one focus of our master plan. So any input that you can provide us would truly be appreciated. Jamie, you'll get into this. We get paid 4 times by the state. They break our allocation down based on our enrollment. And we just received our 4th quarter, and we had a reduction of 20%, which is about $400,000, which we expected. It could have been worse. It could have been better, but we certainly are going to live with it. If enrollment, and this is where I ask, if you could share social media that we provide, enrollment right now, we're down 25%. It is critical that we have everyone in the community help us let people know we're alive and moving forward. So what I ask is, if you see a Facebook, if you could share it from us, if you see an Instagram, if you could share it, the more influencers that we have that spread out the word, and what we're doing now is, I'll show you in a second, is how we're going to bring students back on campus. But having spokesmen in the community would help us so much. You know, we have a number of campaigns, a number of things that we're working on, but spreading the word is so important. And it, like I had said, you know, in previous meetings, we could be down 25%. We'll struggle through it. We could come in even, or we could be up. So we're going for up, and that's what we're doing. It's all hands on deck. We're having a call-a-thon in the next 2 weeks, where everybody on campus is going to have a list of students, and we're going to do this like a marathon. I'm going to be calling, everyone's going to be calling, we're going to reach those students, we're going to make sure they know their financial aid, they're going to know what classes to take, we're going to register them. So that'll be coming in some of our media presentations coming up. We follow the guidelines of the governor, and he gave us some general guidelines to build our reentry, and that was repopulate. Once, you know, what's the plan to bring people back? What's your plan to monitor? If something happens, how are you going to contain them? And what are you going to do if you have to shut down? So our basic fundamental reopening plan was based on those 4 categories. How we bring back students in the fall? A lot of people think, you know, we're just going to go online. We're not. We have 4 different methods, and each class could fall into one of these. So we're going through each class that we're offering in the fall, and we're deciding whether it's going to be remote delivery. Now, what that means is lectures and labs are synchronized or asynchronous, which means synchronized means the class is being held at the same time and the teacher is in the room. The only thing is students aren't there. They're watching it on Zoom. asynchronous, that would happen, but it wouldn't be during the same time. We would capture it and be able to let the students see the lecture. The second way would be a remote delivery of lecture. Now you can see a fashion design, vet tech, their STEM programs, nursing and biology would be, the lecture would be out there, but we would bring them in and we'd make sure that we have social distancing, we divided up the labs. So we will have students on campus for these specialized programs. Hybrid is a combination where they'll come half the time on like a Tuesday and then the other class will come on a Thursday. So if it's 20 in a class, you have 10 at a time. And then there will be one day the whole cohort would come together and just one class would be here the whole day, one program. So we're not commingling different students at the same time. And what people thought we were going to do is go online. Well, we have online courses and we're going to offer them just like we've always done. But there's four different methods. And I think it's important that we get the message out to students that no, this isn't going to be, you're going to be home and then this is all you're going to get is online. That's not the case. So we have four different modes of delivery and we're proud of it. We've been working on this for 3 months and the faculty has been involved, the staff has been involved. We've worked with the SUNY system to make sure that we don't go totally online because I don't think that's the best way to learn. And I wanted to show you, this is the end of my program. Well, thank you for your time, and I'll gladly answer any questions. Or if you want to wait till after Jamie does the finance part of it, we can do that. Whatever you prefer.
Why don't we do that? Jamie, if you would, please. Thank you, Doctor. That was terrific.
Thank you. Jamie, you're muted.
All right, so I'll go back to the beginning. So in terms of expense summary, we're down overall by 1.1 million. This is again going into, you know, a rough fiscal climate ahead. We need to reduce our budget consistently across the board. In terms of salary and wages, we're down about 700,000. This is due to attrition. We've had some people who have retired. We've had some positions that are remaining vacant that we will not fill for the upcoming year. Our benefits are up slightly by about 200,000. That is because as people retire, they still stay in our benefits. So they roll over to retiree benefits. So you're still capturing a benefit allocation for them. And also some actuarial adjustments in terms of our benefit adjustments as our retirees do age a little bit. Contractual and supplies is where our largest reduction, you know, outside of salary and wages is coming from. I'm going to go into more detail in that on that in a few minutes, but in large part that is due to a revisioning of our contract for office or for information technology. We currently contract for all of our information technology and we've gone through a renegotiation of the contract with our contractual team there to reduce that cost overall. And then 77% of our budget is salary and benefits. I know the county is in a similar situation when it comes to trying to reduce their overall costs. It gets difficult when so much of your budget is directly related to salary and benefits. So moving in, as Dr. Al said, in terms of just a quick state aid update, we've received notice of a 20% reduction on our fourth quarter payment. That's about $310,000 reduction on that payment alone. We are anticipating further reductions into 2020, 2021, same as the county in terms of overall state reductions across the board. In terms of revenue, we've reduced our tuition. Again, this is projecting a reduction in enrollment by about 600,000. Our state aid reduction is about 900,000. Again, that's following the guidance that's been put out by the state and by SUNY. At this point, we have no reduction on our sponsors' contribution. And again, I know as Dr. Al had said, that's a huge benefit for us. I know a lot of other counties are really struggling, and Ulster County is also struggling in terms of financing. But your support means the world to us as we continue through operations. Charges to other county, we're actually starting to see an increase in our charges to other counties. So these are students who live in, say, Dutchess or Orange, who are coming to SUNY Ulster for programming. We're seeing an increase here really because some of our banner programs, our police basic training program, our criminal justice program, our fashion design program, are really starting to attract others into our county. Other revenue, again, we've reduced that by about 100,000. The other revenue allocations are continuing ed coursework. Also, we have some revenue in there for our bookstore commissions, food service commissions, and we don't expect that to be as robust this year. We are showing a fund balance draw of about 400,000. We typically do not have to do a fund balance draw, but given the fiscal climate ahead, we feel it's prudent this year to do a fund balance draw. In terms of the tuition summary, this is going through the increases in tuition through our region and also looking at the statewide average. Our requested increase is $200 on a total basis. That brings us to $4,880. As Dr. Al said, we're still the lowest cost, and through the work of our foundation, we really are an economical choice for students. SUNY Dutchess is also going up by 200, SUNY Orange by 192, SUNY Sullivan by 201, and SUNY Rockland by 196. So the total average for our region is an increase of 198, and then the statewide average is $152. But again, just to be cognizant that our proposed tuition rate is still below the statewide average tuition rate of 5,024. Again, as the county knows, there's a lot of fiscal uncertainty ahead. We don't know exactly what the state will do. We are projecting state aid reductions across the board. We're hopeful again that the federal government will come in with a relief package for the states, which will then trickle down to a relief package, hopefully for the localities. We're still tracking that on a daily basis and trying to stay as updated as we can with our SUNY contacts and SUNY finance arm to make sure that we're ahead of the curve in terms of where we might land. We had to really rethink our budget this year. So one thing that we're very proud of with working with the county, we're able to really rethink how we do purchasing. We had two vacancies in our purchasing department, and we were able to work with the county to enter into a shared service agreement regarding purchasing. So we're still working through some of the details in terms of the actual MOA and the agreement in terms of the service delivery. But this will really save the college a lot of money, and we'll rely on the county to provide the support in purchasing. The county has a very robust centralized purchasing department led by Ed Jordan, and his team have been really excellent in terms of helping us through this transition when we had our vacancies. So we're going to be working with the county on a shared service approach here to work through as we, revision how we do centralized purchasing. We're also revisioning our Office for Information Technology. This is going to be in concert with a relationship with SUNY CECAS and SUNY iTech. They're kind of the tech arms of SUNY, and they provide a lot of the banner, which is our operating system support, and a lot of the information exchange support that all campuses are really relying on. So we're going to be transitioning over to those services away from our contractual relationship with a company called Ellucian. We've been in contract with Ellucian for many years. The contract was up for renewal this year, and it was really time to rethink how we do IT at SUNY Ulster, and also start to look to the market to see what is the market rates out there, what can we do, and how can we do it better. So we've been in contact with SUNY and working through potential other shared service opportunities, even potentially with some other SUNY schools, including maybe SUNY New Paltz or others that are out there that are also doing tech. Again, as Dr. Al said, in terms of capital projects, our water line is at this point complete. We're just waiting for final hookup into the aqueduct. This is going to reduce our reliance on our wells and is also going to reduce our water dependency for the region. So all of our neighbors, when we have a water problem, everybody in the area has a water problem. So now that we're going to be switching over to municipal water, this is going to really alleviate that concern. We're also going to be able to now install refillable water stations. The quality of our water was not suitable for fillable water stations. We would have to go through many filters within a week period based on the amount of sediment in our water. So this will assist us to be able to do that and to really improve our water quality on campus. That is what I have. So any questions on this or Dr. Al's?
Hi, this is Lynn Archer.
Hi, Lynn, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Just a couple of questions on the movement to the IT function at the state mm-hmm. level.
Sure.
Are you going to experience any kind of adverse impact, or the quality of IT is going to increase compared to your contractual?
So what we're doing is we're teaming up with SUNY, CECAS, and ITEC right now. So we're calling this a bridge year. So we're going to have Aleutian staff still on site for a portion of this upcoming year as a full staff, and then we're going to slowly scale it down. That's going to provide that data transfer and provide some of that institutional knowledge to the SUNY, CECAS, and ITEC team. They've already been actively engaged with our team on site. So this should increase our service delivery. We are envisioning potential kind of bumps. I think you always have to expect some bumps when you do a shift like this. And we're going to work through those with our current team. We will be entering into a contract for a full year with Aleutian. So we will still have them on site to provide some of the support that we're going to need through this transition year.
So you're not going to realize any savings this year. In fact, we have additional expenses, but with the long term, what's your long term savings projection on this?
So we actually will be receiving current year savings. So we renegotiated our contract with a 24% reduction on the budget. And then I've gone back and further reduced our contract with them for additional savings. And that was really the remote offsite service that they were providing us. That through the SUNY, CECAS, and ITEC Center, we're not going to need that. So we'll be in a contract with SUNY. SUNY's also providing us free services for a short period of time through the transition. So we will realize those savings in real time this year. When we're fully annualized, we expect savings of about, you know, I'm projecting about $500,000 in overall savings by the end of this. And that's also including all of our servers will be hosted by ITEC. So we won't have to go through a server conversion or a server overhaul, which we're due for at this point. We also had ideas of doing generators to power our servers in case our servers ever went down. We won't have to incur that expense either.
I see this as a real value add versus just a money saving.
Right. Now it'll be a real value add in terms of we won't have to hopefully maintain that infrastructure going forward.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Are there any other questions? Yes, Peter?
Yeah, I just had a quick question for Dr. Roberts about sort of the backdrop that we're in with racial justice issues, and how is SUNY Ulster interacting with the Black Lives Matter movement and racial justice issues on campus?
We established a online program where, actually I think it's gonna be this Tuesday, will be our second series. And we're bringing in, well, in more than just this, too. We got three major issues. I'm leading the state on an advocacy plan as representative of the president's. The online chat where we brought in experts who are in this field who can help facilitate the conversation, because what we want to do is be able to give everyone a voice. The first one was very robust, and you know, we learned a lot. And you know, we then took actions to try to accommodate some of the situations we weren't even aware of. You know, there was things that people kind of held inside, you know, that were bothering them. But when they had this opportunity to speak openly in a safe environment, it was quite eye-opening. But we're going to continue this series. We have a chief diversity officer who is leading us in that area. It's critical. It's something that we were brought to our attention quickly that we needed to be part of this. So yes, we are.
Great. Thank you so much for your leadership in that. Thanks.
Dr. Roberts, if you would, yesterday you had mentioned to me that New York State has cut back on the Pell program. Could you just go into that?
Sure. It's interesting is the Pell program and the TAP program. TAP is tuition assistance through New York State. And the state, 70% of our students come get 100% paid for a tuition. Because they qualify because of economic challenges in their life. So we have very robust Pell and TAP. What the state has told us is we are going to be obligated to give that 100% to that student. So what happens is the state tells us this student is qualifies for 100% TAP. So we give them that money to pay the tuition. The state says, that's great, but we're only going to give you 80% of that 100%. So what that just did is give every student a 20% discount on their tuition. So even if you looked at a raise, they actually got much lower because we're going to be absorbing that additional cost because the state will not be reimbursing us for the TAP. So it's another one of those things that we're going to have to deal with.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I just had a quick question about international students. I've been reading about the immigration issues with international students, and I wonder how you're addressing that.
We have no international students.
Okay. Thank you.
I wish we could get, it'd be a great, but without dorms, it's virtually impossible. Mm.
Right. So if there's not any other questions.
Jim, could I?
Yeah. Please, John.
John Parody.
Sure.
Just a couple of comments. I don't really have any questions. Dr. Al, I know your graduation tour went over very well. Kudos for that.
That was fun.
I hope you have little pins in the new areas of the county that you may have visited. It must feel a little bit like the Adirondacks again. But it went over very well from the folks that I chat with and see here and there. The comment on the school, not just to hear myself talk, but I consider the SUNY Ulster the most valuable asset that Ulster County has, with the exception of the people who work for the county and work for the community. It's the economic engine of our community. It's obviously the educational engine of our community, and I think if there's anything that's paramount is Ulster County's investment in the community college. And I say that, and I have to thank you and your staff and wherever, because you're in such a challenged area, because the people in the southern part of the county could easily to a different school, or in the western part, or in the eastern part, or in the northern part. And it's such an important part of the future of Ulster County. I have to say that going down the road, the investment by the county, by the taxpayers of the county, is paramount to the success of our community. And I thank you all and your staff for what you guys are doing.
Thank you, John. Those very, very kind of you. And the support the county has given us is overwhelming. I talk quite often with my colleagues on the other 30 community colleges, and nobody supports them anywhere near as our county does. So you don't know how much I appreciate that. And the staff does too. We understand what you do for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, John. I think we all feel very much the same. Just want to mention that yesterday, Manager Green and I had a very good meeting with Dr. Roberts about more of a collaboration between the legislature and the college on issues revolving around sustainability. And so we're going to continue those conversations and see what we can put together to keep moving that effort forward, as well as perhaps looking at some opportunities for training for folks that are interested in the environmental field. So again, thank you for listening and for your willingness to partner on this. So with that, I will move on to resolution number 244, approving the 2020-2021 Ulster County Community College, SUNY Ulster resolution. Do I?
I'll move that for discussion.
Great, thank you, Peter. Legislator Worrell? Oh, you're on mute. I cannot help you.
Second.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So, call for a vote.
Well, okay. And yes. I mean, the resolution was for discussion. If there's no discussion, I'll move for a vote. But the resolution, the move was for discussion.
Yes, thank you, John. Second?
Second, Matt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion approved. Any new business? None? Any old business? Well, again, thank you, Dr. Roberts, Jamie, very good presentation, and we look forward to continuing our partnership with you. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yes, so moved, John Parody. I'll move it.
Seconded by Mary Worrell. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thanks.